The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you along for the conversation today. We got a lot of weird stuff going on. I just, you know, right out of the gate, just be warned, it's just a weird day here in the United States of America. And we're going to do our best to meander through some of the big stories of the day. I do want to start out with a question, and maybe I have just been, you know, I have been off the grid. I have not been in the studio over the past couple of days, so maybe I just missed something. But why is the LGBT crowd? Why are the alphabet people hating on Chick-fil-A again? I thought that was settled science a long time ago, right? But all of a sudden now, you've got all of these folks that are riled up over Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of our Lord. And they are demanding that Chick-fil-A be banned. And again, for the life of me, I just do not understand. And maybe we have one of the smartest, most brilliant audiences in all of talk radio. Big, beautiful, huge brains you have. So maybe you can help me understand why it is that the alphabet people get so triggered by a plump, juicy chicken breast tucked between hot, buttered buns, with a single pickle strategically placed in the middle. I just don't understand why. So yesterday we had this crazy story out of New York State where you've got three gay lawmakers and they're launching a petition. They're doing some sort of a major renovation of the interstate system. And up in the Northeast, instead of, you know, well, let's take, for example, when we were going down to Dallas, Texas, and Grace Baker can testify to this somewhat. Yeah, we were, when you got to get gas, you pull off the interstate. So there's an exit ramp. And normally there's, well, at least in the case of Texas, there's something called the Buc-ee's.
Yeah, a really fancy rest stop.
Huge rest stops.
The
so
Walmart
you get your gas. You
yep.
can go in and get yourself a kolache. You can go and get yourself a beaver nugget, whatever you want, or a bag of ice. And get your gasoline.
Slurpee.
Get a Slurpee, some fudge, and then off you go again. Then you get back on the interstate. That's not how it works in the Northeast. In the Northeast, all of the rest stops are in the middle of the medium. So you know how there's like one you know, traffic going one direction, traffic in the other, and there's normally like a little grassy medium. Well, those are very large in the Northeast, and they actually put everything in those mediums. It's kind of cool.
Really?
A little weird, but kind of cool.
Does it save time?
I don't know. But I can tell you that in the course of whatever they were trying to do with the Chick-fil-A's, they were going to be putting Chick-fil-A's in these exit ramps in the Northeast, in New York State. And so the gays are like, no, we can't do that because Chick-fil-A hates gay people. And it's a big kerfuffle. Well, now we're getting two more kerfuffles. This one involving the University of Kansas, the Jayhawks. And the faculty at the University of Kansas has been incredibly triggered by news that Chick-fil-A is coming to town. The University of Kansas Faculty Council calls Chick-fil-A a bastion of bigotry, among other things. And we have a copy of this letter. The University of Kansas has a sexuality and gender diversity council, and they have expressed extreme frustration with the university's decision to deepen its relationship with Chick-fil-A. And here's some of the verbiage. We, members of the Sexuality and Gender Diversity Faculty and Staff Council, write to express our extreme frustration at the university's move over the summer to deepen its relationship with Chick-fil-A. Their beef with the chicken joint stems from the company's perceived stance on alphabet people issues, and specifically money they have given to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and to the Salvation Army, and also a children's home. But this is going back to 2017. So, again, I'm not understanding why now all of a sudden the gays are very upset at Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of our Lord. They go on to say, despite our denouncements and the university's own moves to increase the campus's diversity, equity, and inclusion, KU granted Chick-fil-A a bastion of bigotry, a prime retail location in the heart of our campus. The union houses spaces that the KU community designates as safe and accepting, not the least of which are the Office of Multicultural Affairs and the Center for Sexual and Gender Diversity. So apparently they're upset because the new Chick-fil-A is located close to some sort of a designated safe space on campus. And now they're calling for the university to evict Chick-fil-A from the University of Kansas. We beseech you. Okay, who uses that kind of word? Who uses beseech? This is the 21st century. We beseech you to rectify this situation immediately, promoting inclusion and equity instead of hatred and intolerance. Oh, this is interesting. So here's what the Sexuality, I want to make sure I get the name of the organization correct here, Grace. It is the University of Kansas Sexuality and Gender Diversity Faculty Staff Council. Man, try getting that on a business card.
That's a mouthful.
It probably not the best phrase to use when dealing with these people.
Oh, gosh, Todd.
Just want to point that out. Just saying.
Wasn't even thinking that.
Just saying. So they're saying that they want to promote inclusion and equity by banning Chick-fil-A. So they're going to exclude Chick-fil-A, and therefore that will make them more inclusive and more equitable, by the way. So that is the University of Kansas. So again, what is going on? Why are the alphabet people so upset with Chick-fil-A? And word comes now from Notre Dame, which is a Catholic school in name only. Notre Dame students and faculty are trying to keep Chick-fil-A off their campus. And I guess I could understand, because technically Chick-fil-A is also known as, I know it's the official chicken of our Lord, but it's also known as the Baptist bird. So I don't know. But it could easily be the Catholic chicken. It really could. Anyway, a group of students, according to Campus Reform, over 180 students and faculty have signed a letter opposing the addition of a Chick-fil-A on campus. Two undergraduates published an op-ed in the school's newspaper, The Observer, arguing that Chick-fil-A should not be there because they have serious ethical concerns about the company and that a different restaurant would better fit the Catholic University's mission. And they, too, specifically called out the same organizations that the University of Kansas had a problem with, that the gay lawmakers in New York State had a problem with. So, again, this seems to be some sort of a concerted effort to target the official chicken of our Lord. And I love this. This is a great line here. From 2003 to 2012, the restaurant's charitable arm gave over $5 million to queer-phobic groups. I haven't heard that word before. I've heard homophobic, but I have not heard queer-phobic. That's a new word, ladies and gentlemen. So they're very upset because Chick-fil-A is giving money to queer-phobic groups like the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Now, here's the problem for Chick-fil-A. They ruffled a lot of feathers in the Christian community when they decided to capitulate to this LGBT mob. And unfortunately for Chick-fil-A, a lot of Christians, a lot of well-known Christians, have decided that Chick-fil-A is on their own. that they're not going to go to bat for Chick-fil-A when they come under attack, when the mob demands they be removed from the public marketplace. They're going to stand down. And I get it. I understand. But the reality is that a lot of these Chick-fil-A's are owned and operated by local folks, good, hardworking people, providing good, incredibly well-paying jobs for kids, providing scholarship money for kids. And yet you've got these radicals out there, and they say, how dare you? How dare you support the Salvation Army? They don't like gay people. Okay, where's your evidence of that? Look, I'm a pretty reasonable person. If someone came to me, let's just say Dirk the gay guy comes over and says, Todd, I was at Chick-fil-A. They refused to serve me because I'm gay. I would have a problem with that. I don't care who you are. That's not right. And we would call Chick-fil-A out. But folks, Chick-fil-A has never been accused. There's not a shred of evidence that they've done anything wrong, that they've discriminated against anybody because of their alphabet status. That's never happened. So what's the problem here? What's the problem? Are they just upset because Chick-fil-A is owned by Christians? Is that really what's going on here? Is it possible that there is more to this, that this is really about punishing people because of their religious beliefs? Now, I know that we've got a lot going on in the country today, a lot of big news stories to cover. We know that Joe Biden's trying to, gin up a civil war. But to me, this is the bigger story, because you have radical LGBT activists that are out there trying to shut down a privately owned business simply because of their religious beliefs. Chick-fil-A will proudly tell you, we just want to sell chicken. That's all we want to do. We just want to sell chicken. Can we not just sell chicken? Would you like a chicken sandwich? How about a nugget? We even have the strips. How about some mac and cheese? That's all they want to do. But that's not good enough for the alphabet people. Now, I'm curious about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They will not, I just don't get this. They never defend themselves. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they have been called anti-gay. They have been called homophobic monsters. And the Fellowship of Christian Athletes will never defend themselves. And I want to warn you people, many of you have kids that are in FCA. Many of you have been a part of FCA. And I don't know if you have caught, we have talked to them until we're blue in the face. But if they do not stand up and defend themselves, nobody else will. We try, but FCA, for whatever reason, has chosen to stand down. And they're going to allow the perception to become the reality. And that's a problem in my book. We're in a time and age, ladies and gentlemen, where you've got to fight back. You've got to push back every single day. And if you do not, the mainstream media will eat you alive. I'm telling you. I've been there. I've seen it for myself. All right. Just a question here. Your reaction, what should Chick-fil-A do? Should Chick-fil-A fight back, or should they go quietly into the good night? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. By the way, we are still celebrating because this morning woke up and discovered that our Daily Biscuit book, the brand new book, still the number one Christian inspirational book in America. And now we are the number one Christian devotional book in America. And that is thanks solely to the audience of this program. Thank you all. And if you have not already done so, go right now to Amazon and get yourself a copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. I can also autograph a copy, but you would need to order your book on my website, toddstarnes.com, to make that happen. And you guys know the drill there, toddstarnes.com. Very, very disturbing story. And we're going to be talking more about this in just a matter of moments with Congressman Jim Banks, a Navy veteran, the Republican congressman out of Indiana. A brand new report is claiming that members of the Navy are more focused on diversity training than on preparing to take on enemies like China. In other words, and we've been very concerned about this, very concerned. And you folks out there listening to us in Morehead City, North Carolina, especially a major military community, you guys know all about this. We have been hearing very disturbing reports that military personnel are more focused on being social justice warriors than learning how to defeat the enemy and kill the enemy. This report says that at least one current officer who happens to be black says that the Navy and the diversity officers care more about the color of her skin as opposed to her abilities. Quote, and this is from an active duty Navy lieutenant, sometimes I think we care more about whether we have enough diversity officers than if we'll survive a fight with the Chinese Navy. It's criminal. They think my only value is as a black woman. But you cut our ship open with a missile and we all bleed the same color. One recently retired senior enlisted leader told investigators on Capitol Hill, quote, I guarantee you every unit in the Navy is up to speed on their diversity training. I'm sorry that I can't say the same of their ship handling training. In other words, they're weakening our military folks. It would be almost as if they went to every enlisted soldier and said, we need your weapon. You're not going to have a weapon to fight anymore. You're just going to have to make do with whatever you can out there. They are defanging, declawing our military, ladies and gentlemen. This is what Joe Biden is doing. And you better believe the enemy see this. And it is a very dangerous place we're going. And I'm curious to know what you are hearing from your loved ones who are serving in the military. And those of you who may have been recently retired, I'm curious to know what's happening. Maybe you can give us eyewitness accounts of what you saw. A Navy spokeswoman welcomed the report from Congress but did not address any of the concerns that congressmen have. By the way, Congressman Dan Crenshaw is among those who published this report, along with Senator Tom Cotton, you folks out there in Arkansas. Now, Cotton's office says there's a national struggle over discussions about race in public institutions and a focus on diversity. And the problem, as Cotton explains it, the problem here is that we're not teaching We're not teaching these young American men, these young American women, how to kill the enemy. We're not teaching them the art of warfare anymore. We're teaching them about personal pronouns and how not to offend somebody. Now, Senator Cotton and Congressman Crenshaw, by the way, they've set up a whistleblower tip line, and they have been inundated. They say over 300 military personnel have already reached out reporting these instances of woke ideology within the diversity training program. So we're going to get into this with Congressman Banks. We're also going to be taking your calls as well, so hang tight. We have a few lines open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for you, and that's crucial because of your busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. And Mike is making a special offer just for my listeners. You get 2-for-1 low pricing plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but lots of other deep discounts on all MyPillow products. The MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, ToddStearns.com is our website, and we've got a great team of writers putting out some incredible content for you there. One of the top conservative websites in America right now, and we're very excited and proud of that, and thanks to your readership over at ToddStearns.com. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us Congressman Jim Banks. And Congressman, it was good to see you at CPAC, and we're honored to have you on the show today.
Hey, thanks, Todd, for having me on the show. It was good to see you over the weekend as well. You gave a great speech.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a great crowd, and always good to see so many conservatives from all over America just willing to, you know, to take a stand and know they're not in this fight by themselves. So, Congressman, I want to jump right into this very disturbing information about the military, specifically the Navy. You're a Navy veteran. What are the concerns you have based on the reports you're hearing out of the Navy?
Well, first of all, Todd, thanks for giving us attention, because Senator Tom Cotton, Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, and myself participated in the development of this report. We were joined by a number of civilian, retired military leaders, different people involved with think tanks in Washington, D.C. And we interviewed anonymously a number of active duty Navy officers and enlisted personnel and a number of retired officers as well to take a look at the posture of the United States Navy. And the big takeaway is this. The Navy is a lot more concerned and focused on diversity training today than they are on defeating the greatest adversary and threat that we face as a nation, and that's the Chinese Communist Party. As the Navy's gone woke, they haven't modernized and focused on what they are there to do in the first place. And that's our big takeaway. I mean, so many interviews that we conducted with quotes like this one. A retired senior enlisted leader in the United States Navy said, quote, "I guarantee you every unit in the Navy is up to speed on their diversity training. I'm sorry that I can't say the same of their ship handling training," end quote. And another active duty lieutenant said in our report, quote, "Sometimes I think we care more about whether we have enough diversity officers than if we'll survive a fight with the Chinese Navy," end quote. We heard that Todd, over and over and over again is deeply concerning.
Congressman, I mean, this is startling. I think back to, you know, the aftermath of Pearl Harbor, when there were grave concerns that we would not have the personnel or the ability to stop the Japanese from launching an attack on the west coast of this country. And now here you are telling me so many years later that we could be in a situation where the Navy is not prepared to step up and fight should that happen.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. I mean, many of the war game scenarios that have played out in the last few years show us losing to China. I mean, almost all of them that I'm aware of. But a RAND Corporation study actually used this language. I won't use the word that they used, but he said the U.S. gets their butts handed to it. They use a different word, Todd, in a war with China in every single war game scenario. So it just goes to show you the highest experts when it comes to those who study our Navy and our military versus China's Navy show that we're on the losing end. And this is an indictment. At the end of the day, this is an indictment on the highest leadership in the United States Navy. Our report shows that our leadership is focused on everything except defeating communist China. And that's what's deeply troubling. You might have seen an exchange that I had with the CNO, the top admiral in the United States Navy, a few weeks ago in the Armed Services Committee. He put out a reading list and told every sailor in the United States Navy to read a book called How to Be an Anti-Racist by an author named Ibram X. Kendi, who preaches a dangerous anti-American ideology of critical race theory that teaches our sailors that America is evil and racist. And he said a number of things that are beyond belief and incendiary, like Amy Coney Barrett is a white colonizer, he said, because she adopted a couple of black children. He also said the AIDS virus was created by white people to kill black people. This is a book, and in his book he says egregious things about everyone in America, including institutions like the Navy, are racist. Todd, how do you go out and ask our sailors to put on a uniform and not just to mention that, recruit young men and women to serve in our Navy and raise their right hand and take an oath of office like I did, knowing that you could potentially pay the ultimate sacrifice of service to your country, when at the same time you're telling our sailors and our military, our soldiers and airmen and Marines that America is evil and not worth fighting for? It's not sustainable. It doesn't make sense. And it's an egregious example of the lack of leadership that we have at the top levels of our military today.
You know, Congressman, we saw during the Obama administration this radicalization of our military, and especially when it came to those hot button culture war issues. President Trump undid a lot of that damage. Now it looks like we're just right back to square one again.
I would argue even worse than the Obama years, because the Biden administration, Joe Biden ran as a harmless, centrist, moderate Democrat. He's governing every bit like Bernie Sanders or the radical socialists who have taken over the Democrat Party today. And at their core, they hate our military to begin with. They view our military as a social experiment when it's not. And that's why the report that we published with Senator Cotton, Reps Crenshaw, Gallagher, and myself, it exposes where we are today at a very dangerous place, Todd. I hope this is a wake-up call for America, for our military, for our policymakers on Capitol Hill to do something about it.
And Congressman, I want to make sure our audience understands this is not an indictment on the rank and file. We're talking about what's happening at the Pentagon.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is an indictment of the leadership at the highest ranks of our military, all the way up to the commander-in-chief, for turning our military into a social experiment rather than the warfighting apparatus and institution that it's meant to be. If we don't do something about it to now, we're going to face grave consequences in the near future.
Congressman, God forbid there's some sort of a conflict, let's say tomorrow. Do you have confidence that the U.S. Navy under the Biden administration would be able to defeat the enemy?
I don't have that confidence, and that's a sad statement for me to make as someone who wore the uniform, someone who served and loves the United States Navy. And this is the difference between Trump and Biden. I mean, Donald Trump understood the Reagan era fundamental principle of our military, of peace through strength. I would argue just as much as Ronald Reagan did. I mean, he adopted a peace through strength foreign policy. He rebuilt our military after it was decimated and torn apart by the Obama administration. Now we have a president and commander in chief who our adversaries do not fear. Russia doesn't fear Joe Biden. He knows that he can continue the onslaught of cyber attacks on America's businesses, on our institutions, because there will be no consequences. And China views Joe Biden and the weakness that emanates from his administration the same way. That's why you see China already moving ships in an aggressive posture against Taiwan, one of our great allies in that region, because they don't fear the retaliation that would come from a Biden administration like they would fear the Trump administration just 6 months ago.
I mean, you think back to that standoff. If you remember back during the final year of the Obama administration, when you had the Iranians holding our Navy sailors and those appalling videos and photographs, it just harkened back to even the 1970s when the Americans were taken hostage.
That's exactly right. I mean, Iran is exactly the maybe the best example that you can come up with. The Obama administration drew red lines. They didn't follow through on their threats to go after Iran for their provocations and the activities on behalf of their proxy groups. Donald Trump did. Donald Trump held them accountable. He took out the biggest terrorist in the world stage in Soleimani, and our adversaries were watching and paying attention to those activities. They don't fear Joe Biden in the same way.
Well, Congressman, I have to tell you, I am stunned to hear this about the Navy. I had just, based on our years of reporting, we knew the Air Force has been full-blown woke. I didn't realize it was that bad in the Navy as well. And my question to you, and this will be our final question, where do we go from here? You're compiling this information. How do we get this fixed and fixed quickly?
Well, again, this is a wake-up call, and I serve on the Armed Services Committee. Unfortunately, in the House, we're in the minority, and the majority party is very much fully willing to allow our military to go woke and face the consequences that come with it. So I can only hope that the American people rise up in the midterm election next year and say enough is enough. We're not going to allow this dangerous anti-American ideology that's being taught in our schools to also be pushed out on our troops, where it's a very dangerous path that we're taking if we teach our troops that America is evil, racist, and not worth fighting and dying for, when that's exactly what we ask our men and women in uniform to do.
Wow, amazing. Well, Congressman, you have a full platform here, and we want to be able to expose these things you guys are finding out about. We've got to get the word out, and anything we can do to help you, just let us know.
We'll be happy to come back and talk about it more soon.
All right, Congressman Jim Banks, ladies and gentlemen, a great American patriot there out of the great state of Indiana on House Armed Services Committee. And that is jaw-dropping, what we just heard. Point blank asked the congressman if he had confidence that we would be able to hold our own and defeat the enemy if, God forbid, China opens fire on one of our ships on the high seas, and the congressman said he does not have confidence. This is where we are, and this is the great concern, is that the Biden administration is intentionally weakening the armed services, the armed forces. To what end? What is the end game here, folks? It could very well be that we are moving to a point very quickly where if we are attacked, we will not be able to defend ourselves because Biden has disarmed the military. Aside from that, they're trying to indoctrinate our sailors, our Marines, our soldiers, our airmen with this idea that America is evil, America is racist, and America is not worth fighting for. So look, we're going to get to your phone calls in just a moment. We're going to take a break here, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Folks, let's get right to the phones as promised. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Keith is listening to us on the talk station in North Carolina. All right, Keith, what's going on?
Well, Todd, thank you for taking my call, but this subject kind of stirred my grits, if you know what I mean. I served aboard three naval war vessels during the 70s and early 80s. We had a new change of command at the brigade at in Hawaii. And it took us 2 weeks, and I won't get into the weeds about everything, but I added up the money, and it cost millions of dollars but to do this change of command ceremony. And while this was going on, I was arguing with my CO about why we don't have ammunition to go out and practice. I said, everybody within our unit ought to know how to use everybody else's weapons. We had machine guns, mortars, all that stuff. He said, we don't have the money for the ammunition. So we just spent more money than we would have ever shot off with ammunition during a dog and pony show. So then what they did is we're having the new general's coming through inspecting all the troops. I went out there dressed in my field uniform. In other words, I looked like I'd been in the field. Everybody else was spit and polished. He came up to me and he looked at me and he looked at my captain. My captain just kind of shrugged. And he said, why are you dressed like this? I said, sir, I said, shiny boots and a starched uniform won't save you in the field. And I think that's kind of what you've been talking about. This CRT stuff, it ain't going to save you in the field.
Keith, we need to be taking these young American boys and turning them into the fiercest, meanest, most terrifying fighting force on the planet. We need to be putting the fear of God into our enemies. And right now, our enemies are looking at us, Keith, and they're laughing at us. They're just laughing.
No, they're salivating.
And that's even more disturbing, Keith, that they are salivating.
Because they know we're killing ourselves, and they're just going to come in here and mop us up. it's a sad state of affairs.
And Keith,
you know what
you
that
just,
general did?
And Keith, you just heard Jim Banks say as much as what you just said, that he does not have confidence that we could stop the enemy right now. Keith, got to run. Appreciate the call, and thank you for your service, sir. Let's go to RJ in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. All right, RJ, I understand you were in the Navy or used to train in the Navy?
No, I used to train them. My company had a contract to train them in anti-terrorism, but there was more emphasis put on politically correct than there was for weapons training or hand-to-hand combat or recognizing explosives. Their weapons training was, if you can shoot the wave in the water, you pass.
Are you kidding me? So you're seeing all of this. What's your reaction to that?
Thank God we have the Marines.
Amen. And let's hope the Marines don't go woke. I mean, RJ, did you ever think we would be in a situation like this?
No. I never thought we'd be in a situation where if the United States was even mentioned overseas, people would laugh at us. It's just absurd now. It makes me sad to even be in this country. But you know what? You got to deal with what you've been dealt. I just wish the people would wake up and see that it's not all greener on the other side.
You got that right. RJ, thank you for that. Folks, this is a very, very dangerous situation. And as our caller from Keith from North Carolina just said, it's not that the enemy is laughing at us. They're salivating because they know that we are vulnerable now. And you better believe they're going to take advantage of that. You really don't think that movie Red Dawn, remember Red Dawn? The movie where the Chinese, the Russians invade America? You don't think that could not happen? Better wake up, America. All right, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, Larry Elder, coming up this hour of the program, our good friend from the Salem Radio Network. Larry is going to be here and running for governor. He's running in that big recall election over in California. And Larry has taken a sabbatical from his talk show, and we're going to be excited to talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. So that'll be a great conversation. Also, next hour of the show, Congressman Louie Gohmert, Republicans now demanding information about these allegations the NSA spied on Tucker Carlson. So we're going to be talking to Louie Gohmert about that a little bit later on this hour as well. But I'm curious about a story in notthebee.com that Grace Baker plopped on my pile of stuff here. Grace Avery, according to notthebee.com, there is a new brand of ice cream coming out, and it's called Kraft Macaroni and Cheese Ice Cream.
Oh, yeah. I'm so pumped.
Wait, really?
I really want to try it.
I don't at all. I'm good. You can try it and give us a review, Avery. I'm good. What about you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this.
Here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
Why? That's always my question. Why? Mac and cheese is great, but like, ice cream? No, it's just going to taste like cheesy ice cream. Yeah.
Well, today is National Mac and Cheese Day.
Yes, it is.
Maybe we should ask our listeners where they can find the best macaroni and cheese in America. 844-747-8868. I'm going to tell you, Grandmother Starnes used to put out one pretty awesome plate of mac and cheese. But I will say this. Kyle, the producer, the board op of this program, is a chef in his own right, and as a member of the Starnes family, I will tell you that was it for Christmas? It was Christmas or Thanksgiving? Oh, it's Christmas. He brought this. He made the mac and cheese, and it was the hit of Christmas.
Well, he needs to make us some and bring it.
It's got a little bit of a jalapeno in there.
Also,
I think that it's got a kick to it.
Mm.
And then you got the crusty cheese on the top.
Why are we always talking about food?
So that's why I'm listing all the reasons why mac and cheese ice cream would not work for me.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, I already celebrated National Mac and Cheese Day today. I ordered some Chick-fil-A and I got some mac and cheese.
We were talking about Chick-fil-A mac and cheese yesterday.
Yep.
The official chicken of our Lord.
Yes.
And they have great mac and cheese. Now, Avery, my last year in New York City, we had a summer intern for the talk show. And we sent the intern out for an assignment. There was a French's, the mustard company. They were promoting mustard ice cream.
I remember you telling me about this. Yeah.
And they actually had an ice cream truck parked right outside of Fox News Channel. And we sent our intern down to get some of the ice cream and sample the ice cream live on air. Mustard ice cream. And it tasted just as bad as you might possibly think.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I've been checking it out, like the Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. I believe it sells for like $12 a pint.
$12 a pint?
I think so, yeah.
What is this, Nancy Pelosi ice cream?
Nah. No, she wouldn't come. She wouldn't touch this with like a 10-foot pole.
That's pretty expensive. That's pretty expensive ice cream. I've got a tub of Bluebell ice cream in the fridge, in the freezer right now. Bluebell.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Half vanilla, half chocolate, so we don't discriminate.
Oof. That's some of the best. And my mom and I, actually, we made some homemade ice cream yesterday.
Well, that's not too bad. Did you put mac and cheese in it?
Really good. No, did not do that. We just made regular old chocolate.
Well, that's there good. You go, folks. Kraft macaroni and cheese. I find it hard to believe.
There are some things that just aren't meant to be combined. I think you could do like a maple bacon ice cream. I've wondered if anyone's tried that before.
I think that sounds that actually sounds kind of nice. Yeah.
We had back in New York City, there was a there's a great barbecue joint in the neighborhood called Rub, R-U-B, Righteous Ooh. Urban Barbecue. That's
nice.
The acronym.
Oh, I like that.
And I got to be a regular. They did Kansas City barbecue, which was good. They had great burn-ins, the whole nine yards, great sides. So one day, the owner calls me to the back, said, "Oops, Stearns, come back here. Don't tell anybody. Come back to the back." I don't know what was going on.
About to get kidnapped.
So I go down the stairs in the basement, you know, where the they got the smoker back. I know, and I didn't know what was going on. He says, "We don't do this for everybody, but I want you to try one of these." And I'm like, "Oh my God, what am I? We're about to do drugs? I don't know. What are we smoking down
there? Kind of smokes down there.
Didn't know what was going down.
Just from the smoker."
So so he brings out this plate, and there was aluminum foil over the plate, peels back the aluminum foil, and there were the most beautiful chocolate chip cookies with bacon chunks, like smoked chunks in the cookies.
That was really good.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And they don't even have it on the menu. They just do it.
Oh, for themselves.
For themselves.
I don't blame them.
I mean, what a great place to work.
Yeah, they could sell those and then just make so much money, I think.
Well, it might be a lot of work.
That's true. Yeah.
And that would defeat the purpose. You know, you have that secret menu.
I was about to say, yeah.
So, it was great, and I hate it. During Hurricane Sandy, somebody took a wrong turn, which was hard to do because it was literally in the middle of 23rd Street. They plowed right into the building and destroyed the smoker.
No.
Oh,
and that
gosh,
was it. Yeah,
awful.
They shut it down.
No.
Closed.
And I was about to say, I was going to go ask when I went there.
All I could think of was the cookies.
No, the not cookies. The cookies.
Not the cookies.
Well, maybe we just need to try to make our own.
We could do that.
I bet producer
Kyle. That would
Kyle
be fun.
Would.
All right. Kyle, we're going to assign him a task. So we're going to put him on assignment. We'll have to get somebody to fill in. So he can perfect the menu. Guys, I want to get your opinion of this U.S. News and World Report survey. They have announced every year they do this, and they evaluate the best place to live in America. And mm-hmm. they rank the country's 150 most populous metropolitan areas based on affordability, like how much it costs to live there, job opportunities, and desirability. And I'm not too sure I agree with this list. So topping the list is Boulder, Colorado.
Never been.
Boulder, Colorado.
Didn't know it existed.
It's a liberal city. Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina.
Okay, that
number
makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the top 10. Honestly, I'm just shocked that all of the top 10 are not southern cities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really random places. There was one, wasn't there one in Maine that made the list?
Portland, Maine, yes. Yeah. What do you mean one in Maine? It's the only town in Maine. Portland, Maine, home of WLOB and Ray Richardson. As a matter of fact, the reason why it's on the list is because Ray Richardson lives in Portland, Maine.
I triggered Todd. I've never been to Maine.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, send me up to Maine. I'd be happy to go eat some lobster.
Very troubling. Austin, Texas made the list. Number 5. I just find this hard to believe. That is the most liberal place in all of Texas.
Well, you said part of it was based on, you said, affordability, job opportunity, and desirability.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of that, I definitely don't think big liberal cities because they're not typically very easy to live at, you know, money-wise.
Nope, not at all.
Portland, Maine comes in at number 8 on the list. So I'm wondering, Portland, Maine, what makes your city so great? Because a lot of people have never been to Portland.
Like me.
I have been to Portland, and I love that town. But that is the only, I mean, it's really disappointing because, get this. So Portland, Oregon is on the list, and I find that hard to believe unless you're surveying Antifa.
Yeah. I have my roommate, actually, for this upcoming semester of college, he lives in Oregon. I believe he lives, like, right outside of Portland, and he is he doesn't like that city at all. He says it is trash.
Seattle comes in at 19 on the list, and I'm still looking for a good southern city here. Spartanburg, South Carolina, you're on the list, number 24. Washington, D.C., number 28. I just don't get that.
What?
No, I don't either.
That does not
How
make any sense.
How come Gainesville, Georgia is not on that list? Come on.
I'm not seeing Gainesville. I'm not even seeing anything in Georgia right now.
Nothing in Tennessee?
And no. Nashville's number 30.
Nashville. What? Yeah. Nashville, okay, maybe job opportunity. But Nashville is so expensive to live in.
You know what? I just hate to say this about Nashville, but it kind of sucks. And I want to explain why.
I'm by the way, you said that, not me.
By the way, Knoxville is number 41 on the list. No, look, and it's not the people of Nashville's fault. It's all the people who moved in.
Exactly.
Yep.
And they basically screwed up an otherwise fine southern city, and now it's wussified.
It's totally different now.
It's like Los Angeles with an accent.
That's what I was about to say. The country and country music and, stars walking around.
And they're not even country music. I'm sorry. They're not country. Those
sorry.
People are not country music stars.
Nope. I agree.
You know, when I think of Memphis is way more affordable to live in.
Now, Nuga Radio listeners, you guys, so you're a 49. So they're trying to tell us that that Seattle, Washington, which is, I don't know, is it still smoldering? Seattle, Washington is a better place to live than Chattanooga, Tennessee. These people are clearly smoking crack.
You know, another place, I'm thinking of, we need to come up with our own list of places.
Asheville, North Carolina is number 48. And Asheville is almost as, Asheville is worse than Nashville because they've gone full-blown woke. Did I ever tell you the story about the drum circle?
Oh,
this is a great story. No, I haven't. The answer is no, I have not, Grace.
Okay.
This is radio. It's theater of the mind.
Yes.
So one day I was visiting Asheville, never been there, went into a bookstore. I always like to trigger the liberal bookstore owners by asking if they carry, you know, a Rush Limbaugh book or Sean Hannity book, and of course they did not. And I noticed they had these little finger puppets, and one of them was a Barack Obama finger puppet. So I thought, oh, I'm gonna buy one of these. So I bought a Barack Obama finger puppet, and I thought, you know what would be fun? This was right as the smartphones were not out yet. So you had your phone and you could download the images into your computer. So I decided I'm gonna take, and I called him Lil Barack, L-I-L apostrophe, Lil Barack.
Lil Barack.
And so I put Lil Barack on my middle finger, and I'm walking around and I'm taking pictures of Lil Barack, like taking a tour of Asheville.
So
we go to this barbecue joint right in downtown, and I'm going to order barbecue. I didn't even get to the menu. I saw, number one, they only had unsweet tea. And number two, they had something called barbecue tofu.
Ew.
No.
So I did what any God-fearing Baptist would do. I rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ, and I got up and I walked out of that place.
Smart move.
And then I ran smack into a drum circle. So they have this area in downtown Asheville, and every night as the sun is setting, all the hippies come out, and all the liberals come out, and they form a circle. I'm not kidding here. This is the most unbelievable thing. And you folks in Hendersonville, North Carolina, you know what I'm talking about. And thank God you don't live anywhere near there, but you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, all the hippies come out as the sun is setting, and they're banging their bongos right there before God and country in the middle of downtown Asheville.
Oh, my.
And so I took, and this is great. I mean, you could smell the patchouli and the marijuana at least four blocks away. Oh, it was terrible. Not very clean people. And so I'm walking down, and I thought, you know what, I've got to document this. I've got me and Lil Barack on the middle finger, and I literally walked down. Honest to goodness, there are pictures somewhere on my Facebook page of me walking down, and it's like sort of like a circular amphitheater, and I walk down, and there I am, me and all the hippies wearing their, you know, the tie-dye, and I got me and Lil Barack on the middle finger, and they're just a-banging their bongos.
I bet it was sweaty, too.
Oh, it was nasty.
Mixed with the marijuana.
And
smell.
I thought, I have got to get the heck out of this town.
Don't blame you.
That's what I thought.
Come on, Lil Barack.
Kalamazoo, you're number 51. I'm still trying to figure out where Memphis is on the list. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Oh, Atlanta, Georgia, you're number 55. 844-747-8858. We're going to go bang some bongos. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Well, Fort Wayne made the list. Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's a great town, by the way. Savannah, Georgia made the list. And even Peoria, Illinois is... you guys are number 87. I still haven't found Memphis. What happens if we're not on the list? That's not good. Birmingham, Alabama, you're at number 91. And our good friends in Little Rock, Arkansas, ranked number 93 in the best places to live in America. But here's what gets me. It says, you may know Little Rock as the home of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Yeah, but we don't hold that against anybody. You know, that's not their fault. Hey, let's go to the phones. Cody's in Portland, Maine, listening to us on WLOB. All right, Cody, what makes your town a top 10 place to live in America?
This is beautiful. We are probably about as woke can be. We've got people that shoot fireworks at the police, and none of the city council, the city mayor, they're crickets. They don't say a word. The police chief says stuff, but, you know, doesn't even get covered. Probably the best thing, though, is we do have Ray Richardson, thank God. And just to top it all off, the entire state of Maine is number 48 when it comes to business-friendly climate. So, good job, Maine.
Well, look, you know, it's funny. Ray Richardson can cover a multitude of sins with your liberal town there, Cody. We need to get a Ray Richardson day in Portland.
Oh, I agree. Well, every day is Ray Richardson day. 6 to 10.
And Portland. Well, let me say this. And you guys, have a great downtown vibe, great downtown scene. And I will say incredible food, too. And the lobster. Now, where is the best place to get a lobster in Portland?
Oh, gosh, my house. But other than that, you know, when you live here, you don't really go out for lobster. So, I don't know, maybe DeMillo's?
You see, it's kind of like in Memphis.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, it's kind of like in Memphis. You know, if you want catfish, you just go out and get, you know, catch some catfish and come back home and fry them up with some hush puppies. I hear what you're saying. All right, Cody.
I did tell Grace, though. Anytime, she can come up and have a lobster.
Very good. Grace is already booking tickets. She's on Priceline negotiating right now. All right, thanks for the call there, Cody. Hey, Lafayette, Louisiana, you folks listening to us, KROF, you're at number 123 on the best places to live in America. You know, Jackson, Mississippi even made the list. How is that even possible?
It's probably just all the crime here in Memphis right now. But it's super affordable, and there's a lot of jobs, so.
Yeah, but you're telling me, hold up, Jackson, Mississippi beats Gulfport and Biloxi? Come on.
Yeah.
I don't believe this.
I agree.
I think they're just looking at places and just randomly putting them on their list.
They're looking at the Google images.
Oh, New Orleans is number 138. Yeah, I'm not seeing Memphis on the list. Oh, here we are. We're 143. Oh, that's sad. We beat Flint, Michigan. I guess we've got drinkable water, so that's, there you go. We got that going for us. All right. Louis Gohmert coming up next, and you're not going to believe what Biden just said. Wow, we've got the audio. You're going to want to hear this. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us on this National Ice Cream Day. Or is it Mac and Cheese Day? Oh, it's Mac and Cheese Day, but they got the mac and cheese ice cream. Hey, just a few moments ago, Jen Psaki was called out there in the White House press briefing room. There has been a lot of controversy over the past several hours about the United States policy with regard to Cubans trying to escape the communist regime down there. The Biden administration now says that they will not allow Cubans escaping from communism to come into America, and that if people from Cuba or Haiti, for that matter, try to come to America by sea, they will be turned around by the Coast Guard. They will be sent back to wherever they came from. And quite frankly, they will be given a death sentence. I mean, we all know what's going to happen. You try to escape from Cuba, and what happens? They send you back. You're going to go to prison. You're going to be tortured. You're probably going to be killed. So anyway, Jen Psaki was asked about this just a few moments ago during the White House press briefing.
Do you think that people are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism?
I think we've been pretty clear that we think people are leaving Cuba, or not leaving Cuba, or protesting in the streets all as well, because they are opposed to the oppression, to the mismanagement of the government in the country.
So there you have it. The White House is doubling down, and the White House says they are not going to allow Cubans escaping from communism to come into America. And you have to ask yourself this one question. Why is that? Why is that that the Biden administration will not open the doors? They let drug cartels, they let human traffickers, they let Islamic radicals, they let criminal riffraff come across our southern border on a daily basis by the hundreds of thousands, and they're going to turn their back on freedom-loving Cubans who want to get out of that hellhole of a country? And that's because Joe Biden and his regime are siding with the communist. They identify with the communist. You remember Barack Hussein Obama palling around with Fidel Castro and Raul Castro? You remember that? It's despicable what this country is doing. Despicable. All right, 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. Our website is toddstearns.com. Larry Elder has been a longtime friend of this program, has one of the best talk radio shows in America, and now he could very well be the next governor of the state of California. Larry, good to have you with us.
All right, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Larry, I want you to take us through this process. I mean, you've got a very successful radio program. You're one of the top documentary filmmakers in America. You are just you're at the top of your game, and now all of a sudden you're throwing your hat into the political arena. Why are you doing that?
That's a very good question.
What's wrong with you, Larry?
I've asked myself that many times since I decided at the end of the race. Look, when I was first approached to run, Dennis Prager, my colleague at Salem, asked me, because other people had asked him, and I said, hell no. I said I thought California was ungovernable. We've got supermajorities in the Assembly, the lower part of the House, of the legislature, supermajorities in the Senate, and, of course, a left-wing governor. And for the last several decades, we've had an anti-growth attitude in the state so that people are leaving. The house, the price of a house in California, according to one of my economist advisors, Lee Ohanian from UCLA, says costs 50% more than it otherwise would, but for the anti-growth policies. And for the first time in our state's history, there's been a net migration of Californians out of the state. So for all those reasons, I said, hell no. And I went, Todd, from hell no to no. And then I started looking at what this guy was doing, Gavin Newsom, imposing all these mandates that he was violating himself. And it isn't just that he was at this French Laundry restaurant that, by the way, before the pandemic, I'd never heard of. It's just one of the most expensive restaurants in the country. It is one of the most shishi restaurants in the world. It isn't just that he was there incurring a bill that I've heard close to $30,000 at taxpayers' expense. He was with the very lobbyists and the medical advisors who drafted the very mandates that they were violating. They weren't engaging in social distancing. They weren't wearing masks while telling you to do that. And you look at all the economic chaos this has caused. Two-thirds of jobs in every other state, pretty much every other state, has come back. Only about half has come back in California. We still don't even know how much damage there was done because the bankruptcy courts just now reopening. We're finding out the carnage. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their businesses, never to get them back. And this guy exempted his own business while he kept his own kids still enjoying in-person private education. So the hypocrisy and the rising crime, the rising homelessness, the rising cost of living, all these kinds of things all kind of came together. And so many people I respect kept coming to meet, people like Lionel Chetwynd, the great filmmaker, and Arnie Steinberg, the longtime Republican strategist. They said, if not you, who? If not now, when? And I began looking at all of this, Todd, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take the financial hit for a while and see what I can do. The worst that can happen is I could lose. In fact, when people approached me, I said, two things could happen. I could lose, I could win, both are bad. So I'm gonna do this, Todd. This is my state. My father came here in 1945. Believe it or not, he worked two full-time jobs as a janitor cleaning toilets. Stay-at-home mom, my wife, who remained at home until my little brother Dennis was in middle school. And my dad purchased a home, and I just checked it, Todd, on Zillow. It's still in the family, so it's good news for us. That home is now worth $600,000, which means if somebody worked three full-time jobs, he or she could not have a stay-at-home mom,
wow,
raise three boys, and afford a house that costs $600,000. That route that my dropout dad pursued is completely foreclosed to any other Californian.
And I think this is what makes your story so compelling, is that you are a Californian, born and raised. You've seen what's happened in your state. And Larry, we hear from so many people that are distressed about what's been happening. They don't want to move. They don't want to get the U-Haul. They want to stay there. They want to fight. And my question, are there enough people there who can get out there and facilitate this change that has to happen in California?
Well, that, of course, is a $64,000 question. Todd, here's what happens. People leave California and they move other places, and they turn those other states increasingly more left-wing. And that's because they don't understand the connection between the rising cost of housing and left-wing policy. They don't understand the connection between the rolling brownouts we have here and the increasingly deadly fire seasons to left-wing policies. They don't get why crime is going up and left-wing policies. All they know is this is bad, I'm getting out of here, and then they proceed to vote for Democrats who ultimately impose the same kinds of policies that caused them to leave California in the first place. My reason for telling you this is that I think I can explain that in a way Joe and Joan Sixpack can get it. There's a reason why people are walking into stores stealing $95 or less every single day without any consequences. There's a reason that homelessness is getting worse and worse because the governor and the Democrats think you can just spend your way out of it. I know what I'll do. I'll just buy a low-cost home, although it's not low-cost, way more expensive than what the private sector would do. I'll just buy a home for the homeless. And what happens is you're inducing slovenly behavior. You're not dealing with the reason why they're homeless in the first place. And more people out of the state come to California and say, wow, I get a free home and the weather's nice. So there's a connection between why you're leaving and what these lefties have done. And a lot of people, because they're working, they're trying to put food on the table, they're trying to raise the DP to get a house, don't get the connection. I think I can explain the connection in ways that the average California can get. And Todd, let's remember, 2.2 million people signed this petition to get this guy out. That means a whole bunch of independents and Democrats who voted for him have changed their mind. I'm going to make them understand the connection between all these problems going on in California and Gavin Newsom and his cohorts in Sacramento.
Larry Elder on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, ladies and gentlemen, could very well be the next governor of California. Larry, let's just say that you end up being the winner, that you are the next governor of California. What's the first step? How do you reverse the trends, and how do you make the Golden State golden again?
Well, the first step is for people to throw a little something in the tip jar to make sure that happens. And I'm urging people to go to electelder.com. That's electelder.com. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is reverse this Proposition 47 that voters were duped into passing. The idea, Todd, is a little complicated, but the idea is that many people who are engaging in shoplifting are doing it to support their drug habits. So instead of sending them to prison, we'll send them to rehab. That's all fine, except when you remove the threat that they're going to go to prison, why the hell would they go to rehab? They're not in rehab now. The only reason that they're going to go is because they don't want to go to jail. You've taken away that threat, so that's got to go. This narrative that the cops are engaging in systemic racism has to go. The idea that the police are mowing down black people is false. The stats show that, if anything, the cops are more reluctant, more hesitant to pull the trigger on a black suspect than a white suspect. We have two left-wing DAs, both of whom are facing recall elections in San Francisco and in Los Angeles, and I would urge voters to recall these two people. That alone will change the narrative in California, and the police can then resume engaging with what's called proactive policing that they don't do now for fear that if they get out of the car and they see something that looks suspicious, why stick your neck out? Somebody may tape you on the phone, put it in the newspaper. Next thing you know, you're a racist out to mow down black people. So a lot of cops have become passive, and bad guys know it, and crime goes up. Regarding homelessness, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the churches involved. One of my advisors is a man named Pastor Jack Hibbs, a very influential pastor at the Calgary Church in Costa Mesa. He says, look, get the churches involved. We know how to do it. There's a religious-based mission in Orange County that's getting people off the streets and turning them around, making them more self-sufficient. I'm under no illusion that you can get everybody self-sufficient, but let people donate money to the churches. Lower taxes so that people have more money. They can donate money to churches, and they can do it. And finally, you have to start with the premise that you cannot sleep on the street that taxpayers have paid for, no matter what your condition is, because that's a taking. And we're not going to allow that. So there's a way to deal with this problem without making it worse. Throwing more money at the problem is the same thing that the Democrats have done regarding education. More money, the schools are getting worse and worse. I went to Crenshaw High School, which was the high school, Todd, that was featured in that movie Boys in the Hood. I picked up the LA Times a couple years ago. Only 3%, I kid you not, only 3% of kids at my former high school can do math at grade level. What's the answer? The answer is choice, so that the money follows the student rather than the other way around. The teacher union are adamantly against that, and they're the number one contributor to Gavin Newsom. I'm going to advocate choice. The majority of black and brown parents, those who vote Democrat, also support school choice that the Democrat politicians that they voted for are not giving them. So I'm going to give them choice. And I think I'll be able to convert a lot of people who are independents and Democrats to come over to my side.
Well, I hope so. And I like the church idea, Larry. I know there's a pastor friend of mine up in the high desert there in L.A. County, has a 9,000-member conservative Baptist church. And those folks are rock solid. And it's good to mobilize those folks. So there are a lot of Christians all over the great state of California. And I'm also glad to hear you addressing what's happening, this cultural rot in the cities. I don't live there, but I do like to vacation in California. And for years, I would go and hang out at Shutters on the Beach. You probably know that beautiful little place right there in Santa Monica. But, Larry, I'm telling you, you've got to – I mean, it's been overrun by homeless. They've got needles in the sand on the beach. It's appalling what the Democrats have allowed that area to become.
Absolutely. It is. That's the word for it. Absolutely appalling. I have friends who live in Venice. They say the same thing. You know, I once had a couple of cops come over to my house for an incident that happened, and I asked them what they would do about homelessness, and they both went, well, you know, it's a problem. It's very difficult. And I was shocked. They didn't have any ideas. And they were recording the interview with me. And then when they turned off the recorder, Todd, they unleashed. They had all sorts of ideas, starting with the premise that it is absolutely illegal for you to sleep on the streets. And you start with that premise and you work back from that. They also talked about getting churches involved. They had all sorts of ideas, but because we were being taped regarding the interview and they didn't want to say the wrong thing, they didn't say anything out loud. But privately, they had all sorts of ideas. The cops know what to do. The churches know what to do. We need to empower them to do their jobs.
Larry, we're going to have to leave it there. You know how the radio business goes, but I do want to say this. I do want to say this, that I wholeheartedly endorse you, and anything we can do to help your campaign, we're going to do. I think you would be an incredible governor, and I wish you all the best out there on the campaign trail.
ElectElder.com, Todd, ElectElder.com. Have I become a politician or what?
I'm impressed. Well said. All right, Larry Elder, ladies and gentlemen. And can you imagine Larry, the next governor of the state of California? I think that would be amazing. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. You heard Larry Elder. Could you imagine if we had politicians talking like that all over America? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Well, yeah, I think Memphis is a better town than Nashville. At least it's more real. It's like Nashville has had some sort of like plastic surgery, you know? I mean, Memphis, what you see is what you get. Just be sure to duck if you're driving on I-240. Nobody wants to get shot. All right, let's go to the phone. Salem, Oregon. Ron, hanging out with us on KYKN today. All right, Ron, what's going on?
Brother, man, you speaking to my brothers from another mother, the Sage or Prince of Pico, baby. I love him. I'm glad he's running for governor. My thing is this. We're having the same problem right here in Oregon. Three factors. You cannot. I moved here 28 years ago. This is coming July 23rd. I moved away from California from the San Joaquin Valley, which is like the land of milk and honey, because of three things. You cannot enable bad behavior. You cannot go through and have people found, you know, being delinquents and then rewarding them, empowering them, And then there'd be less like what happened when I grew up in Los Angeles 49 years ago in Maxine Waters. The poverty pimps of that nature enabling this paper, but using race for division. The new segregational thing that's going on up in Portland is the same thing I lived through. And the problem is this. When you got a governor whose her name is Kate Brown, I call her Jezebel, and you have a Republican Party who are divisive and just go along and get along and sell out for pieces of silver, you cannot have liberty without accountability. You cannot go through and say, we're going to educate our kids and throw $15,000 a kid, which is higher per capita than your state, than any state west of the Mississippi, and yet your law in Mississippi on education, the reason is all that has been done by the Democrat Party, the hardest left of the Democrat Party, and it's shameful. We don't have the Sam Nuns. We don't have anything. As a person who is a part of the Republican Party in my county, in the state of Oregon, you got to put skin in the game. It's not easy, but you have to make a stand. It takes the few, if you have the courage, to have the empowerment and the education and hold them accountable. People got to get off their butts and make things happen. And
Ron, let me jump in here for a second here, Ron. Let me jump in here because, to your point, Portland, I've been to Portland, Oregon a time or two. That's a beautiful place. Great city. But the lawlessness of the Democrats has turned it into a hellhole. And this has been happening city after city after city. San Francisco, one of the prettiest cities in America. And look at what they've done, Ron. It's appalling what the left has done. I hate to do this, Ron, but we are coming up on a news break. I like the way you think, sir, and I want you to give us a call back one of these days. But everybody gets it. I mean, even the liberals, they get it. Unfortunately, the leftists are the ones controlling these big cities. And I really do think Larry Elder has a path to victory here. Do you really think the Jenner, formerly known as Bruce, is going to be the standard bearer of the Republican Party? Come on. This guy, John Cox, the Chicago businessman who refuses to even mention Trump's name, and the guy's running for governor in California, he got whipped the last time he ran. I think Larry Elder could be the guy. And Larry can go into those minority communities and he can do what Ronald Reagan did back in the day, build a big tent Republican Party. That's how you win, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got to take a break here. Louie Gohmert coming up, and Promise Keepers. Remember that group? Oh, yeah, they're back in the news. We'll tell you about that as well. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Casting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, I just thought about this. We were down in Texas over the long weekend and had a great chance to meet so many wonderful people down there. You know what would have made it perfect? If we could have hung out with Congressman Louie Gohmert, who is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now. Congressman, we missed you in Texas.
Well, I missed you visiting with you, but you're always, you know, ubiquitous. You're just everywhere, and thank God for that.
We went to we were speaking at a church after CPAC. We went out Sunday morning and spoke at a church out past Fort Worth, Willow Park Baptist Church, and then the pastor fed us over at Joe T. Garcia's, this great Tex-Mex restaurant. Oh my gosh!
You bet.
Wow.
You bet.
But all we thought, you know what? We next time we come down, Congressman, we're going to have to make sure that we meet up somewhere in Texas.
You got it. Would love it.
Well, Congressman,
you know the area well too.
Well, it is God's country, as they say. So, and I love that 75 mile an hour speed limit you guys have.
Oh man, yes.
Congressman, the reason we wanted you on today, we've been talking for a couple of weeks now about these allegations. Tucker Carlson has been the victim of spying at the hands of the National Security Agency, the NSA. And we know that you have written a letter, along with several other lawmakers, demanding answers. What's going on here, sir?
Well, as you know, Tucker is absolutely certain that the NSA was spying on him. You may remember, because your memory is so good, we had a president that when he was just running for office said he was being spied upon. And the media, previously known as mainstream, now simply alt-left media, they were making fun of him, how ridiculous. You had people with the CIA or intelligence sources, I don't know, Clapper, Brennan come to mind, but they loved to belittle that guy that was running for president, talk about how crazy and ridiculous, paranoid he was. And it turns out he was right. And I tell you something that really got my attention well before that, Todd, was, as a member of the Judiciary Committee, having had grave concerns about some of the parts of the Patriot Act, that it would allow spying on individuals, Americans, they would say, oh, no, those are extreme exceptions, and that doesn't happen unless they're visiting with, you know, known terrorists or known members of known terrorist groups, that kind of thing. And I go, well, but you got this provision in here that says, doesn't say foreign. It also says you can spy on people involved in clandestine intelligence activities. What does that mean? Oh, well, no, we just don't really get around to using that. I'm going, well, clandestine intelligence, does that mean if my neighbor or maybe even I'm looking out the side of my window from behind the curtain to see what somebody's doing, that's clandestine, it's gathering intelligence, would you use, oh, no, you know, we just don't use that. I still want to know what that means and what they use that for.
Yeah, I do, too.
When we hear that Tucker was being spied upon, that's what the letter, that's what generated the letter. We want to know what you were doing. We want to know precisely what exceptions, because, you know, the quote, I know you've read it, you're so plugged in, but Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency, and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air, unquote. So that's what they're saying, but it doesn't address whether NSA has ever monitored, surveilled, received, or collected data on Tucker Carlson under any pretext. It just gives that very limited area, and it doesn't rule out the possibility of him being surveilled or being unmasked. As we found out during the Obama years, just became a very, very common thing. After those of us on the Judiciary Committee, when the bill was up for being reauthorized, they would say, oh, no, no, we never do that. No, unmasking, that is such a just unusual thing that anybody would. Then we find out the Obama administration was just do it on anybody that they had wanted to find out garbage on. They were unmasking and reviewing conversations. It was just incredible what they had done. So once this raises its ugly head yet again, then it is imperative that we know specifically what the NSA is doing and whom they're spying on and what the basis for their spying.
And Congressman, let me jump in here, because this is against the law. They're not allowed to do that. And my question is, you know, how do you stop these guys? What sort of punishment can we levy on these people to make sure they don't do this again, if in fact it turns out to be true?
Well, obviously, punishment could result in incarceration. But here again, Todd, one of my big problems with the current state of things is we found out that a number of people, the FBI, just signed off on by Justice Department, Department officials, including Rosenstein, they lied to the FISA court. And as a former district judge who has reviewed lots of affidavits, lots of applications for warrants, you got to have probable cause to sign off on these things. Sometimes you turn them down if it's not there, if the factual basis is not there. But then when we saw released by WikiLeaks one of the applications, affidavits, and warrant of a FISA court, it was our federal government saying, you know what, we just need every single thing that Verizon has on all their customers. God, the Constitution requires describe with particularity. You got to have specificity in there. What are you looking for? Exactly what is the thing to be searched? And exactly what is it that you're getting? And they just said, give us everything you got on all your customers. And the judge, a federally confirmed judge, says, oh, sure, here you go. Here's your warrant. You go get it. And if WikiLeaks had not released that, we would never have known how badly compromised the FISA courts and the our own administration was back then. So anyway, it's important that we get to the bottom of this. People should have gone to jail for the abuses that occurred in going after the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. And yet there wasn't a single FISA judge that had enough decency and honor as a judge to say, you can't come in here, commit fraud, and lie to my court and not go to jail. You're going to jail. And that's just for contempt of court, for fraud on the court. And then there'll be criminal charges on top of that. We didn't see that happen, Todd, and that's one of the things that really scares me.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Louie Gohmert. Congressman, earlier on we had Congressman Jim Banks. He is very alarmed at the state of readiness of the U.S. military, specifically the Navy. Says that currently the Pentagon is more interested in making sure the troops are woke instead of ready. What are you hearing?
Well, the same thing. And there are, I'm hearing from some in our military exactly what I was hearing from Border Patrolmen down on the border in the last couple of weeks. And that is, look, it's gotten so bad. I'm just trying to finish my time so I can retire and go home. It is so bad. And that's what the military is saying. You know, they're more concerned about race and recognizing or attributing things to people simply by the color of their skin. You know, my 4 years in the Army at Fort Benning, you know, that was in 1978, 1982, things were tough, you know, during the Carter years. But one thing that really wasn't an issue was race. That seemed like the military was one place that race was not an issue. You know, you just were concerned that, you know, people were going to support you and you support them. You had their back, they had your back. But race wasn't an issue, and I can't tell you how much it grieves me to see these ministers of racial doom and gloom out there dividing America by skin color. They are working so against the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is really tragic what has been done here.
All right, Congressman, we are going to have to leave it there. We've got to run for a break. Always appreciate your great work, and I know Tucker appreciates the fact that you guys are going to bat for him, and let's get to the bottom of all this. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Congressman Louie Gohmert from the great state of Texas. By the way, you know that I love beef. I mean, I am a beef eater. This is not one of these NPR public welfare broadcasting shows where everybody's a vegan. No, we're meat eaters here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Something you may not be aware of, though, about 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States, it's not from here. It's from overseas. That's bonkers. And that's why I purchase my meat from GoodRanchers.com, because their product, their beef, 100% American. And folks, nothing tastes better than a good old American cow. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, you're not only getting amazing meat, you are also supporting American farms. That's a big deal. And my friends at Good Ranchers have traveled all over America, and they've actually met. They've shaken hands with the farmers who raised the livestock to make sure the product they're sending to your table is the very best. The steaks are always USDA choice and prime. The chicken, 100% natural, no antibiotics, no hormones. And it's better than organic. All you have to do, folks, if you want information on GoodRanchers.com, which is where I buy all of my meat now, you're going to be able to get a one-time great deal. Here you go. First of all, go to GoodRanchers.com/Todd. That's GoodRanchers.com/Todd. And if you use my promo code, which is my name, T-O-D-D, you're going to get $20 off plus free express shipping. You're going to get quality steakhouse beef for less than $5 a meal. Unbelievable. By the way, you've seen how the other guys do it. You get a huge box, and then you have all this meat, and you got to figure out what to do with it. No. That's not how Good Ranchers works. They actually individually wrap every single one of their products so you eliminate all the waste. So you just use what you want to use, and you put the rest back in the freezer. So stop playing the grocery store guessing game, folks. You got to know where your meat comes from. And you need to support American farmers like we do. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Todd. That's GoodRanchers.com/Todd. And use the promo code T-O-D-D. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Yeah, I really am excited about this book. By the way, you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, get ready. July 29th, we're coming to your town. We're going to be doing a book signing at Smokehouse Barbecue. We're going to have a lot of fun. WDUN hosting our event there, and they'll have all the details. But what more details do you need? We got a biscuit book and we got barbecue. I mean, that's the best of both worlds. And then July 31st, we're going to be at the Billy Graham Library in North Carolina in Charlotte. All you folks, WSIC, come on down, hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. They've got an incredible restaurant there, great ice cream, too. No, I don't know if they got the mac and cheese ice cream, but come on. It's going to be a lot of fun. We would love to see you down there. All right. Time now for some crime news.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the fruited plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes A.D.B.
All right. From the smoking gun. The headline, an asinine Ohioan in trouble after a phony 911 call. After getting pulled over outside a Walmart, it's always the Walmart, isn't it? Always the Walmart. Mm-hmm. A motorist sought to deter officers from the traffic stop by calling 911 to falsely report a shooting a few blocks from the Walmart.
Come on, dude, really?
Muhammad Kabir was driving Saturday when his car was pulled over by the police in Euclid, Ohio. He lives nearby. He was behind the wheel, but he had a suspended driver's license and expired plates. There was also a 2-year-old boy who was with his mother in the car, and the kid wasn't in a child safety seat. So the guy was hoping to get out of the ticket, so he just called in a fake 911 call.
Not a good plan.
Not a good plan at all.
No.
All right. Next story. This from California, a naked California woman rescued after becoming wedged between two buildings.
That sounds really uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. The woman was wedged between the concrete walls of two buildings, this in Santa Ana, California. She was discovered around 2 o'clock in the afternoon by the Orange County Fire Department. Workers at a nearby auto body shop said they heard the woman yelling for help, but they were not able to pin down her location.
She probably didn't have her phone on her.
The cops got on the roof, looked between the two walls, and, quote, she's all naked. That's what the worker said. She's all naked.
I mean, what are you supposed to say?
She was upside down, too. Oh, that's got to be painful.
Oh, no, gosh, ow, yeah.
The woman was...
My question...
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead, Todd.
Thank you. It is my show. Thank you, Avery. The woman was stuck in a space less than a foot wide. She was wedged in there, and they could not physically get her out, and she could not crawl out.
How'd she get in that position in the first place?
Well, that's a good... Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the investigation will, you know...
Figure it out.
I mean, it's Orange County, California. I'm going to assume some form of drugs.
So here's what... You know, here's what gets me, as it seems to me that you would just basically get some Crisco and just, you know, or pour some, you know, cooking oil and just slurp her on out. But they had to blow open a concrete wall.
Yikes.
Oh, wow.
My favorite story of the day, and I'm just going to read the headline. I think this will suffice. A Tennessee man was arrested while doing a rain dance in a Waffle House parking lot. Police say the man was intoxicated. Michael Harmon, Madisonville, Tennessee. I've been to Madisonville. He was running around in circles at 3 a.m. in the parking lot of a Waffle House. He said he was just trying to cool off.
What was he smoking?
Police said he was... Police said he thought he was a Native American.
Oh.
Oh, he also thought there was a monster in the White House, but that turned out to be the line cook. So, there you go. All right. We'll be right back. All right, Grace Avery, I need your help on something. I should have asked for your help earlier.
I'm here to serve.
I know. You guys are the best. You really are. You're.
Thank you.
You know, Avery, you're my Bo Snerdly. So that's... Rush Limbaugh fans will know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I was about to have no idea.
And Grace, you are my Linda. And all of our Sean Hannity listeners will understand.
I do know who that is.
I know who Linda is.
So my pastor's wife, of course, Dr. Paul Chappell, who has been a regular guest on this program, Lancaster Yes. Baptist Church in California. His wife, Terry, is one of the finest cooks in America. And I know that because, she's fed me a time or two.
Nice.
And she has a brand new book coming out on Christian hospitality and cooking. Like, so if you're, Ooh. Grace, we're going to get you a copy because you're going to need to get this book, Great Recipes.
Totally.
So they asked me to write an endorsement. And so I was struggling over this all night. So I was writing, and I want to get it right only because I want to make sure I get invited back for a meal. So I have an ulterior motive here. It's not a pure motive.
Okay.
So here are the endorsements. If you have feasted in the kitchen of Terry Chappell, you are a blessed believer and a few pounds heavier. Todd Starnes, best-selling author.
That sounds like a Todd Starnes comment in a good way.
Here's the other one. Terry Chappell is to Christian hospitality what Paula Deen is to butter. You like that? You had to think about that for a second.
I was trying to think if it was a good analogy. I think
delicious
good.
Delights served with a heaping helping of love.
That one's too corny.
That's a good one.
That's still part of the first one.
I think it's fine.
Oops.
I got to rework that one. All right.
Just being honest.
Thank you, Grace. All right. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's a work in progress. We're an open book here on the program. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Big event coming up this week, July 16th and 17th. Promise Keepers is back, and they're going to be at AT&T Stadium there in Dallas On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is from Promise Keepers, Ken Harrison. Ken, good to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks, Doc. Good to talk to you.
Ken, first of all, I'm excited about this gathering. Tell us what's going to be happening there. AT&T is a very large stadium. You guys going to fill this thing up?
We'll fill it mostly up, probably not sold out, but which is pretty impressive considering we're just coming off of COVID and to get tens of thousands of Christian men together in one place, pretty cool.
Well, it is cool, and there is something about, you know, men gathering together to worship and to hear God's word. I know my good friend James Robinson, one of the speakers. What's going to be happening, and what's the focus of Promise Keepers?
Yeah, you know, we really want to preach God's word in a way that I don't think a lot of people are hearing it anymore, and so it's going to be direct scriptural teaching, men to men, and I think so many young people are saying they're looking for father figures, they're looking for examples of what a Christian man looks like, and we're just going to give them God's word straight up, no sugarcoating. I had somebody say to me, well, you know, what are you going to do to reach the young people? What's your gimmick? What's your stick? And I said, well, our gimmick is we're going to preach the word of God, and I think that's all we need. We're not going to do fog machines and skinny jeans. We're going to do, here's what a man of God looks like. And I think the young people will respond in droves because they're going to see the Holy Spirit really move with unadulterated truth. And we're not going to compromise.
Yeah, I think this is so great. And I think we've reached a point in the history of the church where I think people are over the skinny jeans and the, you know, the 5 o'clock shadow, the stubble, all that kind of stuff. And I think they really want to focus on the main thing here. And I'm looking at the lineup. I mean, Jerry Boykin, a good friend of this program, A.R. Bernard, who's a friend of mine back when I was in New York, as well as Robert Morris, who's pastor of a great church there in the Metroplex, Gateway Church.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me, James Robinson's like my spiritual father.
Isn't he awesome?
He preaches. I mean, he has no other agenda but the Lord. I mean, there is no ego. There is no self-aggrandizement. It is all about Christ. I love James. And he's just, people say, you know, did you talk to James? I said, nobody talks to James. James talks to you, and you listen.
There is a great story that Mike Huckabee loves to tell, and James will tell this story too. Mike, right out of college, I guess, worked with James, and James Robinson bought Mike Huckabee his very first suit, and then the next thing you know, the guy's running for president of the United States. So you never know. I mean, it's the 6 degrees of James Robinson, not Kevin Bacon. But, you know, Ken, I understand also you guys have run into some challenges there. My understanding is that the mainstream media has been trying to cancel you guys. What's going on with that?
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, when you go into something like this, okay, maybe there's some stuff. I don't think people realize the level of hatred and vitriol for Christian men. And we had USA Today come out and basically say that AT&T shouldn't let Christian men get together. They made their excuse that we were going to come out and bash gay people, which we've never said, which we're not going to do. You know, like I said, we're going to preach God's word, but we are not out to condemn or belittle anybody.
But let me stop you there, Ken. Let me stop you there. No, that is bashing gay. That's what they define as bashing gay people, is preaching the word of God. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, and I've said, you know, it's 1 Corinthians 6. It says, you know, adulterers, the sexually immoral, alcoholics, thieves, verbally abusive, active homosexuals. Those are all on the list of people who won't inherit the kingdom of God. And we're going to preach the word of God about all of those people. We're not going to pull any one group of people out. We're interested in speaking God's word wholly and completely. Yeah, but we've been shocked. And some of the real extreme gay magazines have come out and made death threats against me, which has been crazy. My assistant was in my office a couple weeks ago just reading all these death threats. We got to find this guy. We're going to kill him, on and on. And she said, aren't you scared? And I said, Gina, whoever wrote that is in his underwear behind a keyboard screaming at his mom for his meatloaf. No, I'm not concerned that he's going to be able to hatch a death plan against me. But it is interesting. And also, we need to exercise grace for those people, because whatever got them to such a horrific level of hatred, there's deep wounding in their lives, and that is what Christian men need to do. Stand for truth, but stand with grace and humility and empathy, that anything that led someone to that level of screaming out for the death of somebody he never met, somebody who's only talking about the grace of Jesus, we that person needs Jesus. And so he doesn't need hatred. He doesn't need an argument from us. He needs for us to love him and tell him about Christ.
Oh, this is some good stuff here. Folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Ken Harrison, he is the chairman and CEO of Promise Keepers. And, Ken, I mean, when you look at the culture right now, men under attack, I mean, you've got little boys that are being told, you know, they should wear dresses or they may not be a little boy. This is an all-out war on gender and specifically targeting men.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, and curious to see what you think about this, but I've been speaking to a lot of men's groups lately all over America, and I've been saying, I really don't think the attack and the war is on men. I think it's on women and children. I just think that this is a way of defranchising men, because when men are screwed up, it's women and children who suffer. And so I really think when you take a look at getting men together and talking about what we're talking about right now, this benefits everybody, not just men, because godly men are a great blessing to women and children. And that's where I think the real focus and the destruction is happening.
You see, I completely agree with you there, Ken. And a couple of years ago, that when toxic masculinity was the big controversy, and there was the horrible flooding in Houston, Texas, and the images of these huge, muscular men wading into the floodwaters and literally carrying women out in their arms. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what the mainstream media hates. They hate to see this, but this is the reality. Men are built this way. This is what we do. We go into the danger zone and we help people. And ultimately, we need more of that kind of toxic masculinity in America.
Well, and that's exactly right, because here's the thing about how men are wired. If you tell men they're worthless, nobody needs them, then they'll go, you know what, I guess I will just go play video games and surf porn and obsess on football all day. But when you tell them, no, it's not you that's being attacked, it's actually your daughters and your wife, and they're using you to do it, that's what gets their ire up.
Yeah.
So if we continue to say men are being attacked, men will continue to act apathetically. But when we get the proof out there, no, it's actually your families that are being attacked, that's what will wake men up and go, oh my gosh, I've been asleep at the wheel while they have been eroding the foundation of truth all over the place in this world.
All right, Ken, let's get to this. Where can folks go if they want to get more information? Are tickets still available? And are you guys still letting folks attend this weekend event?
Yeah, promisekeepers.org. It'll be Friday night and Saturday morning. 45% of the tickets that were bought for Promise Keepers back in the heyday in the 90s were bought by women to send their husbands and their sons and brothers. So I'd say women, tell your husband the best thing you could do for us is to go to Promise Keepers. Coach McCartney, who started Promise Keepers, used to say all the time, a great line, the best thing a man can do for his kids is to love their mother. And so I would say absolutely come if you can. Tickets are, I don't even know what they're, like $90. We don't want anybody to not be able to come because they can't afford it. This is not about making money. And in fact, we'll lose millions of dollars on this deal anyway because of the cost of these things. So if you can't afford it, contact us through promisekeepers.org, and we'll get you free tickets.
I think this is terrific. Ken, we're gonna drive a lot of traffic your way. Good luck this weekend. I think the nation's going to be much stronger as a result of Promise Keeper gatherings like this. So, Ken, look forward to hearing how things go.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Ken Harrison, CEO of Promise Keepers. Ladies, if you're working on the weekend honey-do list, just go ahead and put one item on that list. Go to Promise Keepers and then get your husband off to the airport or drive. If you're in the Memphis, Tennessee area where we broadcast, it's a 5.5-hour drive and it's 75 miles an hour, which is 85 or possibly 90. But you'll be able to get down there lickety-split. It is one of those life-changing moments for men. And I remember years ago when Promise Keepers were happening all over the place. I mean, that was a powerful movement that was happening in this country and the men of America. And no doubt about it, men are under attack in the United States of America. All right, folks, you've heard me talk about our good friend Mike Lindell for a long time now. We love Mike, and we love his great products, MyPillow. I have all of the MyPillow products in my home. And I especially love MyPillow. They do not go flat. You can wash them. You can dry them as many times as you want. Still maintain the shape. And best of all, made right here in the good old U.S. of A. And for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You're going to be able to get a queen-size premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's a $40 savings. Every single MyPillow product comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get some incredible discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. You can also call 800-839-8506, and when you place your order, just tell them you want to use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Well, apparently bugs are racist. This is coming from the Daily Caller. The Entomological Society of America, the ESA, is very concerned because apparently certain insects have been named using racial slurs. And so scientists believe that bugs need to become more inclusive. This is according to a press release from the Entomological Society of America. And Grace and Avery, I've said that word correctly twice, so I'm just going to say ESA moving forward. I don't want to jinx it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, go for it.
So they have now removed the term gypsy moth and gypsy ant. The word gypsy is the, that's the bad word.
I didn't know that was a racial slur. I just thought that was a general term for...
It's a derogatory reference to the Romani people. That's from Romania, I believe. ESA President Michelle Smith said the term gypsy is a rejected racial slur, and the Romani people do not want an association with a harmful pest. Quote, it's an ethnic slur to begin with that's been rejected by the Romani people a long time ago. Nobody wants to be associated with a harmful and invasive pest. What about a boll weevil?
What?
A boll weevil. You know, in the cotton fields.
Oh. What about ladybug? When is that going to get outlawed?
Well, that's a good point.
Isn't that sexist?
It is sexist.
We just call it bug, I guess.
It's bug.
Bug. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The ESA has launched a new program, the Better Common Names Project, in an effort to replace inappropriate or offensive insect names. You know what's going to get on that list? Chiggers.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's, you know...
I mean, don't you think...
What are y'all laughing at?
Keep going.
It's true.
Don't you think this is like the bird watching situation not that long ago? Weren't they trying to rename birds?
Yeah. It's very similar.
The birds, birds, birds. Birds, 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 birds. It's true.
Yep.
The blackbird, that's offensive. I think they're changing the name.
Yeah.
I want to go back to this other story. I mean, again, insects, you know, what red ant? You can't have a red ant.
I just hate bugs in general.
What about a black ant?
I just say they're all mm-hmm. bad bugs.
Well, not all bugs are bad. You know, Jim Crowder, who hosts the Mid-South Gardening Show on KWAM, he would tell you that not all bugs are bad.
Yeah, there's some that are really good for the environment.
I'll just stay away from them. I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Can we go back to this Waffle House story?
Yes, please. Oh, yes. I really wanted
we
to.
We did not have...
Give it its proper attention.
I have a bee in my bonnet, if we're still allowed to say that, about this story. So this guy was arrested while doing a rain dance in the Waffle House parking lot in Madisonville, Tennessee. He was running around in circles about 3 o'clock in the morning. The police said that he was running in order to cool down. He was rather warm.
That's not how you cool down.
He was doing a rain dance like Native Americans.
Hmm.
He also told the police there was a monster inside the Waffle House.
I mean, that's debatable.
Now, here's the interesting part about all of this, Grace Baker and Avery. Apparently, he was under the influence of bath salts.
Oh.
Ah, there's the detail. Bath salts.
Was he smoking the bath salts, or was
I don't know how you do
with the bath salts?
I don't know.
Either you smoke it or you just sniff it. Yeah.
Do you eat them like pills? I don't know.
Mm-mm.
All very strange.
Tennessee man.
There you have. Well, look, I'm telling you, as much as a lot of crazy stuff goes down at the Walmart after 11 o'clock, the Waffle House, that is a whole nother level of crazy.
We've seen a lot of viral fights break out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I would recommend, if you're going to the Waffle House and it's after midnight, that you should have open carry.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful at that Waffle House.
Just to be on the safe side.
That's why I just don't go there.
Travel in a large group.
A very large group.
Very large group.
And even then, you should carry.
Yeah, at least one person.
And if you see a man running around in the parking lot, just turn around and just leave.
And bring an umbrella.
That too.
I mean,
yeah.
You never
always
know.
Always be prepared.
Scattered, covered, and smothered. That's what they say.
Showering bath salts.
Always at the Waffle House. You never know. All right, folks. Hey, don't forget ToddStarnes.com. Scoot over there. Get yourself a signed copy of the new book, Our Daily Biscuit. Man, are we selling biscuits like this is a crazy month. Got to move those books. Go buy a book, America. Get out there. Have a great day.